Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Blazing Witch by T.R. Cameron, Martha Carr, and Michael Anderley, narrated by Dina Perlman. Chapter 1. Despite all the troubles currently filling every possible inch on her plate, Scarlett reveled in the wind blowing through her hair as she piloted Dusk Runner along a narrow two-lane road through the forest. The freedom energized and rejuvenated her in a way that little else could. Tall trees stretched overhead, leaving her in the shade more often than in the sunlight. Runeclaw perched before her as usual. He had his nose in the air, sniffing wildly. His body language said he enjoyed the trip every bit as much as she did. Guilt hovered around the edges of her consciousness, barely sensed but enduring. The fight against the bear the day before had been grueling for everyone involved, making her feel she should do more to help. Somehow, not that she knew how. Plus, the woman they rescued still hadn't regained consciousness. Wren, Lynn, and the rest of the witches on wheels were divided on whether the cause was simple exhaustion or magical suppression because of the collar she still wore. They hadn't figured out how to remove the thin band of unknown metal from her neck, since it showed neither seam nor crack. None of them wanted to risk anything without researching it first. Lynn had promised she would work on getting Snow, the artificer and chief magical technologist of the Spellriders, out to take a look. Scarlet's skills couldn't add anything to those of the folks already involved in the woman's care, but a part of her still thought she should remain behind. Runeclaw had punctured that notion, as she'd been falling asleep the night before. The cat had announced, "I think the place I landed was somewhere to the east." She'd mumbled sleepily, "It's always east with you." But her impression had been the same, east. His leap through the enemy's portal had been foolhardy in the extreme, but it might have given them the lead they so desperately needed. When they woke up, she packed her saddlebags, opened a portal to Moab, closer to the main highway heading east, and rolled her bike through. She'd stopped by to greet Jules at her shop, bought the other woman a cup of coffee, and replenished her potion supply, then headed down the road toward Colorado. The motorcycle purred underneath her, as if thrilled to be on the road. Dusk Runner was all black and chrome, heavy but nimble. Glyphs and metallic sheens covered it, some painted on, others etched into the metal. They protected the motorcycle and its riders, as did the shield she'd put up around them, which let wind through but little else. At first, she hadn't fine-tuned the barrier well enough, but she quickly improved it after inadvertently eating the first couple of bugs. After several hours of riding, they crossed the outer boundary of Breckenridge, Colorado. A thriving ski town in the winter, in the current summer season, it was quieter, almost quaint, as if relaxing before the return of the busy season. The main road was two lanes wide, and each side featured gaily lit buildings that originated in another century. The businesses were what one might expect of a tourist town, small cafes, souvenir shops, and the like, plus many stores selling athletic equipment appropriate for year-round sporting. The mountains rose like a backdrop with cable cars and ski lifts suspended to connect the enormous lodges with the tops of the mountains and the town to the largest lodges. She breathed a long sigh of appreciation. "Now that's gorgeous," Runeclaw replied. "And here I figured we were going to visit the world's largest waffle." "You are starting to sound like a total drone with the constant giant waffle thing. Maybe think up something clever?
Maybe think up some place clever?"
She released the handlebars with one hand and gestured broadly. "Doesn't all of this natural beauty count?" He tilted his head back until he looked at her more or less upside down.
"As far as I'm concerned, you can't be trusted. This could all be a facade, some sort of fake town."
"Where we'll be attacked by robots running amok."
Scarlet laughed and poked his nose. "Nope, it's real. I'm nowhere near clever enough to pull off all that other stuff." He let out a soft snort.
"Well, we agree on one thing at least."
"Jerk," she replied affectionately. An elaborate sign pointed to their destination. They pulled up in front of the gravity house. She parked the bike, climbed off, and threw the saddlebags over her shoulder. Dusk Runner had other secure storage bags that stayed with it, protected by the bike's wards. Interfering with her ride would sound an ear-splitting alarm, followed by an electrical discharge that anyone attempting to take her stuff wouldn't enjoy. The first couple wouldn't be fatal to a healthy vandal, but woe to the person who continued to try to take her beloved motorcycle from her. She headed toward the door and lurched forward as Runeclaw jumped onto her shoulder from behind. She shook her head. "Lazy!" He batted at her ear but didn't reply. Most of their conversation had been mind to mind, since that was easier while riding than trying to shout. The small, mostly hidden pendant nestled under his fur by a slim harness gave them a magical connection. The pendant and her ability to connect to it were new developments that had already proven useful. Without them, she likely wouldn't have been able to find him when he portaled away with the enemy. The inside of the hotel was classic chic, with white leather couches, a fireplace that would no doubt be roaring were it winter, an elegant curved bar, and a formal reception area. On the other hand, their room was decidedly more hip than chic. The furniture was plastic and chrome, bright, eye-straining shades of white, and light shot out from every conceivable corner and nook. Scarlet groaned as she flopped down on the bed.
"Okay. I saw the picture of the lobby and loved it. Had I seen this room, I might have chosen differently."
"It's almost stressful,"
Runeclaw replied. "Let's play a game. Take out your wand and I'll tell you which light to shoot first." She laughed.
"We can turn them off."
"Where's the fun in that?"
She levered herself up on her elbows to look at him.
"Oh, it's fun you're after, is it?"
A scowl spread across his features.
"I don't like where this is going," she grinned.
"We need to go see a troll."
He rolled his eyes.
"I knew it was too good to be true, that we'd inevitably have something stupid to see here."
"What do you have against trolls?"
"Nothing. But if you want to see one, it's bound to be annoying."
Scarlet stuck her tongue out at him and bounced off the bed. She grabbed her essential items and shoved them into appropriate pockets and holders in her jeans, leather jacket, and boots, then headed out the door.
"Come on, let's go catch a ride."
An autonomous trolley served the town. While slow, it never actually stopped, so it made good time. She jogged alongside it and leapt up to grab a handhold. Runeclaw landed on the seat beside her. She prompted, "Move over."
"No chance. You stand. That's your punishment for being annoying."
Scarlet laughed.
"Fine, whiner. It's only a short trip anyway."
She held Runeclaw as she jumped off at the trailhead for the Trollstigen Trail. Abundant tourists were nearby, talking animatedly, striding off energetically or wandering around tiredly, depending on which phase of their adventure to see the troll they were in. Runeclaw stared around at them, then up at her.
"Are you sure about this? It seems popular, unlike your usual entertainment choices."
She walked toward the troll in question.
"There's no making you happy. Too many people, too few people, not kitschy enough, too kitschy. You're a complainer."
"Guardian."
"A guardian who complains a lot."
He paused, looked at her, and admitted,
"Fair."
They exchanged meaningless banter as they made their way to the trail's central feature. A humongous troll made entirely of wood and covered with ivy and other vegetation reclined against a hill. This creature was based on old earth fairy tales rather than modern-day imports from Ora Seren, and it lacked colorful hair and big eyes. Nonetheless, Isaac Heartstone radiated a sense of peace and calm. They stared at it in silence for almost a full minute before Runeclaw commented,
"I like him."
Scarlet's mind, which had been drifting, returned to the moment.
"Me too, buddy."
As she pivoted, intending to begin the trek back, a thump in her chest that felt like her heart had beat a couple of extra times stopped her. She frowned and lifted a hand to the pendant under her T-shirt. Her grandmother had left it for her, and it contained magic she thought had been fully transferred to her.
She had learned new skills, and her power reservoir had deepened. It seemed as if it had more to do. Runeclaw asked,
"What?"
She stepped to the side of the path and looked around.
"I don't know. A feeling. I thought of leaving and got the distinct impression we shouldn't."
"Then perhaps we should stay a while."
She looked down at him.
"You've felt things like that before?"
He moved into the dirt, found a sunny spot, and stretched out.
"The messages and feelings a guardian gets are rarely clear. It's more instinct than anything. One you seem to be developing with a little help from your grandmother."
She sat beside him.
"How kind of you to say."
He squinted as he opened his eyes the slightest bit.
"Don't get used to it. I'm honest, and honestly, there's usually more bad to say than good where you're concerned."
The words were said with warmth, and Scarlet laughed. "You're a goofball, a complaining goofball, guardian." She slipped into a light meditation and let the remainder of the afternoon pass. She had brought along water and snacks and shared both with the cat. Finally, as the sun touched the horizon, Runeclaw sat up and turned his head toward the troll. She followed his gaze, expecting Isaac to come alive, but a number of the kind trolls she was familiar with had crept out onto it instead. Their hair was a rainbow of colors, and the one with dark purple locks stepped forward. He offered a slight bow.
"Guardians, our magic recognizes yours."
Runeclaw and Scarlet inclined their heads in acknowledgement. She asked,
"Is there something we can do for you?"
"There is. One of ours has been taken, and without your assistance, I fear they will be dead before morning."
Chapter 2 The trolls led Scarlet and Runeclaw along twisting and turning paths she doubted were visible in the daylight. She didn't know enough about trolls to understand their magic, only that they had some, and it could be as varied as the shades on their heads. She quickly lost track of their direction, despite trying to keep it in her head. Eventually, they reached a clearing surrounded by stone hillsides, with small notches carved into them at irregular intervals. She imagined they led to individual troll quarters, dens, lairs, whatever. Runeclaw bumped into her leg, and she looked at the troll leader as he spoke.
"This is our home. We have magic to protect us from the senses of all predators and secure spaces to den in. Despite this, something penetrated all those protections and stole away one of our greatest warriors."
Scarlet restrained the reflexive snort at the idea of a great troll warrior. Size had no relationship to power where magic was concerned,
which means whoever took them must have had strong magic to overcome those defenses.
"Exactly. I'm glad you understand. We followed the trail as far as we could, but could not enter the cave."
Runeclaw asked, "Why?"
The purple-haired troll shook his head. "We don't know. It appeared empty, yet whenever anyone tried to walk through, it was like we struck a barrier. Even our magic was insufficient to reveal its nature or bypass it."
Scarlet replied, "We'll be happy to give it a try. Can you and your people watch our backs from outside?"
"Of course. Nothing we can see will get past us to threaten you."
Scarlet could have done without that particular caveat, but it was a logical addition given that someone had invaded their area unnoticed.
"Then let's not delay this rescue any longer."
The path to the cave was shorter than the one to their village, and the mountain's cleft was as they described. The opening was large, almost inviting. A stream burbled nearby, and fallen trees made for an abundant supply of firewood. She might have chosen the same place if she'd been setting up a homestead in the forest. She mentioned that to Runeclaw.
"It argues for a certain intelligence on the part of our foe. Also, likely, hands. Not too many animals need firewood."
After a moment, the cat clarified.
"Well, maybe that bear..."
Scarlet winced at the reminder.
"Can we not talk about the bear?"
The fight against the giant creature driven mad by one of their enemy's control colors had been vicious.
She hadn't enjoyed being forced to fight what she presumed was an unwilling enemy, and was glad they had managed to subdue it rather than kill it. The memory made her angry. She pulled the long knife with its enchanted runes from the sheath at her shoulders. Before, she had hidden the paired blades at the small of her back. Her enchanted revolver, made by one of the spell riders and magically enhanced for her by Snow, now rested in a holster in that spot. She muttered, "Should have brought my throwing knives."
"You should pretty much wear them all the time."
"A little difficult to explain to the casual observer, you know. At least my hair hides these sheaths."
"You're always saying you're clever. You can think of something. Since you're clever, you go first."
She considered arguing for the sake of it, but had intended to take the lead anyway, so she refrained.
"Right you are. Clever people go first."
The opening quickly narrowed to a corridor with no source of illumination. She cast a spell to create a floating orb of tightly wound lightning and commanded it to follow them. The ground was well-traveled, dry dirt, with most of the rocks kicked off to the sides where they met the stone walls. It smelled dusty, which surprised her.
"You'd think a place like this would be damp."
Runeclaw replied, "I don't smell anything unpleasant. Kind of aromatic, but inoffensive scents." Scarlet waved her wand in a small arc, shaped her intent, and muttered the words to enhance her senses. She detected what Runeclaw was referring to.
"Kind of bitter. Well, at least it's not something nasty. Let's get a move on."
The trap that activated under her feet after a minute or so of walking took Scarlet by surprise. Earth and mud became sand that pulled at her, like a vortex lay underneath. Trying to draw the whole world into it, she yelped, barked, "Stay back!" and hurled her knife at the wall. She added a spell as it flew, and it sank in when it struck. Another spell locked it in place. She was up to her stomach in the sand by then, and panic tried to break her concentration. She'd been in tricky situations before and wasn't about to succumb to something as basic as fear. She used her wand to whip out a line of force magic threaded like a rope. It curled around the dagger again and again to lock it into place. Once it was secure, she used it to arrest her descent. Keeping her mind focused so she didn't lose any of the spells she had going, she pulled her other knife from its sheath. Like the first, it bore enchantments along its metal that allowed her to cast through it. While not as good at channeling her magical energy as her wand was, it was still adequate for this need. She used it to attach another line of force to the dagger embedded in the wall, then pulled herself up. It took raw strength and magical power, but she finally extracted herself from the sand. Once beyond the trap, it vanished as if it had never existed, which was almost as offensive as what it had done to her. She sat panting for a moment, one knife back in its sheath, but the other line of force still attached to the one embedded in the wall, in case another part of the floor decided to betray her, then rose to a standing position. When nothing happened, she withdrew her blade and checked it for nicks. It was pristine. She cast another spell, and the area with the pit trap glowed.
"That was an unkind welcome."
"Someone values their privacy."
Runeclaw probably tried to hide it, but she heard the relief in his tone.
"Well, someone who's that big a jerk doesn't deserve any privacy. Let's keep going."
"Maybe check the ground ahead of you."
Scarlet's tone dripped with sarcasm.
"Gee, I hadn't thought of that."
Runeclaw's was condescending.
"That's why I said it. I know how you are."
Scarlet threw bursts of force magic into the ground before her as she walked. She also kept her knife ready to throw and her wand ready to summon another force rope if needed. It occurred to her that the trap was quite devious. The shield she kept around herself and Runeclaw whenever they might be in danger, and much of the rest of the time, would have absorbed simple magical attacks. Being sucked down to nothingness would defeat that defense, since she would eventually run out of magic and the shield would dissipate. Whoever this foe was, they were crafty. The second trap was even nastier. One minute Scarlet was walking normally, on guard against everything, and the next moment she was seated and slumped against a wall. Vines had come out of the stone to encircle her biceps, wrists, neck, and waist. She realized she was having problems breathing. She cast her eyes down to her finger, which hurt unbearably, and saw Runeclaw's teeth latched onto it with blood flowing. She rasped, "I'm awake. What happened?"
"You sat for no reason. The vines came out. You wouldn't answer. My claws can't cut them."
Fear spiked in her mind. His claws were generally able to ignore magical protections. Either these things were so strong he couldn't get through them, or maybe they were controlled by, but weren't magic themselves, just really tough. She coughed, then barked a word. Flames covered her outside the shield that the tendrils had compressed to her skin. The vines burst into flames and frayed. She took several slashes on her face as they whipped around in their death throes, but ducked her head to keep her eyes safe. After several seconds, they had burned away entirely. She immediately felt drowsy again and reached into her jacket pocket. She always carried two potions, one healing and one energy. Her wounds weren't dire enough to justify the former, but she felt she'd be vulnerable to the same magic again if she didn't use the other. Scarlet downed the energy potion in a long drink, then forced herself to her feet. She swayed unsteadily before the potion took full effect. It was as if someone had plugged her into an electrical outlet. Her soul seemed to vibrate, and she laughed.
"I could get so addicted to that stuff."
"Please don't. I couldn't deal with that. You're annoying enough at regular speed."
"Let's move before we run into something else nasty." She jogged forward, blasting the ground before her with force magic to avoid another pit trap. The path twisted and turned, then finally ended in a large chamber. The roof above was irregular stone, a natural feature. The walls were the same, and two crevices doubtless led to other interesting places. The objects in the center of the space caught her attention. First, a roaring fire that seemed to be consuming the trees they'd seen outside cracked and snapped, as if accusing them of trespassing. On a frame above it hung a heavy metal cookpot, almost a stereotypical cauldron. Steam emerged from it, and she recognized the bitter scent from earlier as the vapors filled the room. Seated next to it was a wizened old woman, her overly large nose marring what might have been a pretty face in its day. Creases were etched into her skin, and her gray hair hung limply around her. She wore something that looked like it had once been a sweater, but had become mainly tatters that revealed pale skin underneath. She smiled at them, displaying several notable gaps in her teeth.
"Welcome, welcome. You're just in time for dinner."
The way she said it made Scarlet think perhaps she and Runeclaw were on the menu.
Chapter 3. The crone rose to her feet, a process that took several seconds and involved a great deal of leaning on the gnarled cane in her left hand and grunting like she was arguing in another language. The support had been hewn from a tree and not changed much, and Scarlet thought she saw a tiny bit of moss growing on one part of it. The sight, like the chamber itself, made her stomach twist. Something was not right with the other woman. The witch changed as she finally straightened. What Scarlet had initially perceived as weak, she now saw as crafty and clever. The woman's eyes revealed she was more than she seemed. That gave Scarlet just enough warning. The crone whipped the cane suddenly in a horizontal slash, and a wave of force magic trailed from the tip and slammed into Scarlet. Her shields blunted the attack enough that the only effect was for her to step back into a balanced defensive stance. Scarlet held one hand up, palm out.
"There's no need to fight. Surely we can talk this out."
The other woman grinned wide, her lips peeling back to show her broken and misshapen teeth.
"There's every need. I'm hungry."
The last word came out almost as a screech. Charlotte nodded, as if what the woman had said made sense.
"Hell!"
She whipped her wand forward and blasted the woman with a force blast that should have knocked her back into and possibly through the far wall.
Instead, the magic unspooled as it flew and separated into separate strands of power that splashed harmlessly against the walls. The crone cackled,
"You think you can come into my home and attack me? Foolish child."
"Aw, hell," Scarlet repeated. Runeclaw had moved as soon as the crone attacked Scarlet. He slunk unobtrusively toward the wall, counting on his natural magic to help him blend into the shadows and fall out of the old witch's awareness. As Scarlet's spell unraveled, he realized the witch's wards might also prevent his magic from working properly. He confirmed it when the witch twitched and sent a blast of magic at him. It made ripples as it traveled through the air, and he dodged to the side to avoid it. Only after it struck the wall behind him did he realize his evasion had been too easy. Vines exploded out of the wall and immediately grabbed him, wrapping around his body, legs, and throat. He twisted and slashed at them, but his claws were as ineffective as they had been against the ones that had held Scarlet. Following her lead, he summoned his magic and blasted electricity from his tail to cover the wall they emerged from. The vines each quivered, thrashed for a moment, then fell quiescent. Their foe was busy defending herself against another attack from Scarlet, which Runeclaw saw as an opportunity to end the battle quickly. He dashed across the intervening space at top speed and leapt toward the crone's shoulder. He would land there and rake her face with his claws. It would force her to react to his attack, giving Scarlet the opening she needed to take the witch out. Easy peasy. Unfortunately, the plan didn't turn out quite how he intended. As he leapt, a black form entered his view from above. It resolved into an identifiable shape as he flew, and by the time he reached fighting range with the crone, the giant bat was in the way. It struck him an instant later and knocked him out of the air. Its claws slashed but didn't penetrate the shield Scarlet had placed around him. Runeclaw flipped over and landed on all fours in a crouch. A hiss of anger escaped him as he readied himself to counter whatever the bat might do next. Scarlet shoved her wand up her sleeve after her failed spell and drew her second knife. She cautiously closed the distance to the witch, throwing magic out of both blades as she advanced. The barrages bent away from the witch before reaching her, but caught her attention, which Scarlet figured was about the best she could hope for. The shot that had gone at Runeclaw was a warning she needed to keep the crone's eyes on her, lest her partner get hurt. The other witch countered with blasts of magic. Scarlet switched to a more active defense and intercepted them before they could reach her. It was always possible the first blow hadn't been as hard as the witch could go, and she didn't want to find that out when one hit her shield. After a subjective eternity that was probably only a handful of seconds, she was in melee range. She poked one dagger at the woman's face to distract her, then slashed the other down at the cane. The other woman used the momentum of her strike to spin the cane up into both hands in a defensive move. Its gnarled head slammed into Scarlet's higher knife and drove it toward the floor. Scarlet gaped in surprise at the power behind the strike. It was at least the equal of the hardest blow her magic teacher Isante had ever delivered. It couldn't have been only the witch's muscles that delivered it. She pushed magic into her muscles to bring herself even with the other woman's strength, and wondered if this was another expression of the crone's home-turf advantage. The block turned into an attack as the cane continued its rotation and licked out at her head. Scarlet leaned back and the blow caught her on the left shoulder. Her arm tingled, and the blade in that hand dipped. She growled a curse under her breath and delivered a magically enhanced blow with the other. Her knife rang off the cane, which moved with impossible quickness to intercept it. The witch was a match for her in a fair fight. Scarlet had learned long ago that if you weren't cheating, you weren't trying hard enough. Her boot whipped out in a quick kick that connected with the nerve on the outside of the witch's leg. The other woman's shield blunted the blow, but enough force penetrated to stagger the other woman. The crone snarled a filthy curse that blistered Scarlet's ears to hear it, then flicked her cane again. Scarlet watched in horror as a breadbox-sized cage on the side of the room that contained a troll with purple hair flew through the air.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?